So maybe you're new here, and you're wondering what we're all about. Maybe this will help. We hope that in this church you will find people who are welcoming and spiritually passionate. A place where relationships are a big deal. A place where you can worship God freely and intimately. A place to hear practical and relevant messages from the Bible. A place that wants you to be involved in serving this community. A place where you can be yourself and find friends. A place where you can grow into God's plan for your life. But most importantly, a place where you can find an exciting relationship with Jesus. Welcome to our church. We're glad you're here.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Are we excited about Jesus this morning? Oh no, are we really excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand to our feet and worship our God? This is a song that we all know. It says that the love of God never fails. No matter what it is, no matter what we think might separate us, the love of God is still faithful. The love of God is still consistent. Does anybody believe that this morning? Yes, Lord. never fails us. It never fails us, even when it feels like we are alone, even when it feels like our trials and life just continues to pile over and over again. The love of God is so consistent. The love of God is so faithful. And I know what some of you are probably thinking. It's like, Corey, every time you say something, it's about the love of God being consistent, the love of God being faithful. Here's why, because we should never get so complacent in the wonder of God. We should never get over the fact that he died for us. We should never get over the fact that his love is faithful. Those are things that we have to hold true on, because guys, if we're being honest, life is hard, right? Life is hard. Life can defeat us. Life can challenge us. But having the news and the encouragement that in death, in life, I'm confident, covered by the power. And that's in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by your power.
It's a wonderful name. It's a powerful name. It's just something about the name of Jesus.
a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. No rival, no equal, no one who compares, no one who can do what he does, no one who can heal like he heals, no one who can save like he saves, no one with power like he has power. The name of Jesus. Come on, the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. Sing it out. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have no rival. You have no equal. Sing it out.
Victory in the name. There's victory in the name.
Jesus. There's victory in the name. Come on. Victory in the name. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory. Victory in the name. Victory in the name. Oh, there's victory in the name of Jesus. Victory. Victory in the name. Oh, victory in the name. Oh, victory in the name of Jesus. Victory. Victory in the name. Victory. Say healing. There's healing in the name. Healing in the name. Healing in the name. Healing in the name of Jesus. Healing. Healing in the name. Healing in the name. Healing in the name of Jesus. Salvation. Salvation in the name. Salvation in the name. Oh, salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation. Salvation in the name. Oh, salvation in the name. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Victory. There's victory.
Someone is healed, you know, they've been held captive by something for so long. Something has had you bound, you feel like you've been in chains. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Man, if I could just get this back straight. Come on. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? And when it was singing that song, I thought, wow, healing has taken place. In this house, since the first of the year, we've seen healings, God do amazing healings. And you know, some people say, well, that's a Sunday morning thing, you know. But this past Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit fell upon our Bible study after Bible study. How many of you know the Word comes and then manifestation of His presence comes? Tamika, join us on the platform here. And so God showed up, and Pastor Joy and I have heard multiple testimonies this week of healing. Somebody say healing. Come on, stand right here so we can be a trinity right here. Come on. Multiple testimonies of God's healing. I want Tamika to share with you what happened to her and just give you a backdrop of what was going on in her life up until, somebody say, up until Wednesday night. Amen. Sometimes you just have to draw a line in the sand and say, Jesus. Come on. Come on, share with
us. I want to read this scripture that Pastor Wallace sent my way that says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In the name of Jesus, we are all healed. In the name of Jesus. In February of 2017, I had to have surgery after canceling multiple appointments to have this surgery. I have developed a bone spur that was slicing directly through the nerve that controlled my left arm. Well, in 2017, I went ahead and had the surgery. The surgery was successful. But out of that surgery bore something that I could have not imagined, because it corrected what was going on with my left arm, obviously. I developed an absolutely excruciating pain in my neck from where the surgery took place. But at the time before the surgery, the surgeon had told me, having seen two different surgeons, that I had the spine of an 85-year-old woman back in 2017, and I could look for my spine to deteriorate further from that point. That went above and beyond my head. I just wanted the pain to be corrected with my left arm. Well, at the end of 2017, for whatever reason, just pain just developed. Like I expressed to Joel and Pastor Mike, I tried everything. Being in the church, from getting a pastor's hands on a piece of paper, saying and laying it on myself, not having the faith, not being encouraged through God's word, but me and my own strength, drinking water that was blessed over. It was always me and not in the name of Jesus. Nothing about Jesus, though I said it, but it didn't get in here. So moving forward from that point, the pain developed, it got worse, and I kept trying this and that, kept believing out of my own strength, never having faith in Christ. And from that moment on, I just resolved to believe that maybe that wasn't for me, but maybe I just did something wrong. Or what is it that I need to do more? Maybe I need to make a smoothie. Maybe I need to lose weight. So going through all of these things, none of it really was me trusting in Jesus, trusting in his word. So moving forward, walking around, coming to church on Wednesday, coming on Sunday with a big enough bag to carry another bag that have a bag of pills in it, just to be able to get through church service, just to be able to get through the day. Well, the Wednesday before then, Joel said, well, I want you to go up to that church, to go up to that altar on Sunday. And right there, and I said, I'm not going up to the altar. No, I'm not doing it. It was so funny that this past Wednesday, Joel says, well, I didn't see you at the altar. And I was like, no, how did you know I didn't go? He was like, the Lord told me that you weren't going. I said, he told you I wasn't going? He says, yes. So at the end of every the foundations course, Pastor Mike always says, anyone in here in the room needs healing. Not just prayer, but he needs to be healed. We're going to pray for you. This particular Wednesday, I was so excited because I felt that Pastor Mike forgot. I was like, let me just get out of here because Joel's in here and I just need to get out of here. I just need to beeline. I had it mapped out. I was going to get out of that. I normally hang around. I says, but I got to get out of here, Lord. Now I'm talking to the Lord. I have to get out of here, Lord. You're coming for me. I thanks be unto God. I thought that I was in the close was clear. Pastor Mike ended up praying for two people. It was a healing session. And so I was trying to figure out, because they were close to me, how am I going to get out of here? Joel comes over to the table at the end of the class. You're not going anywhere. Tonight's your night. I said, my God in heaven. Pastor Mike started the story. Not the story, forgive me. He started foundations class on Wednesday talking about pain in his neck. I was like, what is this? Well, maybe it's a coincidence. Then throughout foundations talking about faith, he would normally go from one slide to the next. But when he got to faith, he would not leave faith alone. He kept talking about faith over and over. And my God in heaven, get on to the next slide. He kept talking about faith. Well, needless to say, they came over. Pastor Mike, he laid hands on my neck. He said, okay, is the pain gone? I said, mm-mm. He says, all right. And then by that time, he was not playing with the devil. He says, Satan, you turn her loose. And they prayed the prayer of faith. I remember back in the, and I'll give you back the mic. I was told a long time ago that he that believes, God will answer that prayer. We have to stay encouraged. We have to stay encouraged, because if we don't, we'll deceive ourselves that the word isn't true. And if we deceive ourselves, the Bible teaches us we'll end up with an evil heart. Pastor Mike at the end of the class simply said, in faith, he determines every day of his life when he wakes up that he will live his life pleasing to God. How do we please God? In faith. Yeah. He should not. So I'm not using my hands. I determined that I believe the report of the Lord. I will not let anything come out of my mouth that does not say his word concerning any kind of pain. So typically, if I put my head down like this, I would take my hands and push my head back up. Well, I'm not doing that. I don't need my hands. I just need to have faith in Jesus and all that he's done. Saints, please be encouraged. I don't care how long you've been going through anything. It just takes a decision to believe God all the way.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Come on, sing it out. One more time, what a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name.
Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand of praise. Thank God for his miracle working power. Thank God for the testimony of healing. Thank God for what he's doing in this house, something fresh and something new. We thank God for the Holy Spirit that is moving in this house today and the fresh fire that he's bringing to us. You can be seated in among God's people today. Praise the Lord. Wow, isn't God good? All the time, God is good. We want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time with us, please meet us at the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to our church. We do have a couple of announcements. On March the 19th, we have two things that are going on. One is Party with the Pastor. Party. Somebody say, Party with the Pastor. So if you are a newcomer to Carpenter Shop International Church, if you've only started coming here in the past few months, since January of 2023, we want to invite you to sign up for Party with the Pastor on March 19th so that you'll get to hang out with our staff and some of our leaders and get to know us a little bit better. We want to connect with you, so make sure you sign up for today if that's you. The other thing we have going on is water baptism. And we have a catchy name for it. It is the soaking wet, how does it go? Soaking wet proof. Some of us need soaking wet proof of our salvation. Do people know that you're saved? Do people know that you've given your life to the Lord? Are you dripping the water of life everywhere you go? We need some soaking. Do you know what it looks like when you get out of a swimming pool and that water is just dripping down and everywhere you go, there's footprints of where you've been. We need soaking wet proof that the living water is inside of us. So if you've never been baptized, you want to make sure that you sign up for baptism on March the 19th. That's two Sundays from now. Somebody say two Sundays. Soaking wet proof. And party with the pastor. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's give God praise. And you know what else? We're going to bless the Lord with our offering. We're going to bless the Lord with the tithes and the offerings and the things that he's given to us. We're going to give back to him, and that's our worship. And so there are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. The ways to give are behind me.
And PushPay is a really great way to give. We encourage you to give through PushPay. And if you're giving by cash or check, you can make sure that you include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt and you can make your way forward at this time. God bless you as you give.
Hallelujah. I thank God for the testimony of my sister, because somebody spoke to the mountain and the mountain was removed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So whatever the mountain is in your life, begin to speak to it as we worship.
Wow. If you don't feel it in this house this morning, I don't know where you are. We might need to lay hands on you and raise you back from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory. I want you to look around. Just look around. Take a minute and look around. If you happen to see an empty seat, you know that's your assignment for next week. Hallelujah. I need a high five from you too. If God be for me, I don't care who's against me. It makes absolutely no difference. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Wow. Wow. You may be seated. What an awesome, awesome week we've had, and we're going to continue to have even this morning. So, Pastor asked me if I had a word. Maybe, a couple months ago. In January is the time that, well, actually it starts in October, but January is really when my year just starts spinning. And the word that I have was a word that God gave me for me. And so when I was fasting, praying in January, God sent me to the verse that we're going to start with this morning from 1 Peter. I started researching for myself. And shortly, I don't remember how long after that, Pastor asked me one Sunday morning to exalt the church and receive the offering. And I really didn't have anything when I got here. And I got on that first top step. I got up there early because I knew the closer I got, I'd find what I was supposed to say. And God told me that He wanted me to have greater frontiers. And this church was going to experience greater frontiers. So I just shared that thing, and it seemed to be okay. And so I've been praying, and And I said, Lord, well, just show me this frontier that you have for me. And I really have not really talked this over with but just a very few people. But the Lord told me that he was going to use me for victory in mental disease. It's a frontier I've never ministered in, really. But I'm confident. And so out of 1 Peter 2:9, this is where I began. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There are four advantages that God gives every believer so that you can fulfill the call he has on your own life. Four advantages here. Now, I think somebody had been reading my notes. I did not send them my notes. But anyway, I know how the Holy Ghost works. And some things I question, but I've learned I do not try to negotiate with the Holy Ghost. There is no winning. The first thing that happened, so we're dressed up in green like an army this morning. God gave me the title to this message back in January. He wanted me to be all I could be. So when Pastor asked me for the title of my message so that that Rico could put it up here and have it here for us for today, and then I get the word that I need fatigues. They're trying to teach an old dog a new trick. But I do want to reach the younger generation. But anyway, so I don't know where general balance back there matched me this morning, so that made me feel a lot better. We are an army. We are an army. But I gathered that God was not satisfied at where I was. That there was more. I surmised that I was doing everything that I believed that he wanted me to do. But evidently there's more. I go through this kind of stretching about every year, but this year seems more intense. I spend more time on the rack than I have before. You know, they put you on that thing to stretch you out. It's supposed to be torture, but it's not for a believer. Hallelujah. I see this message as a mathematical equation. These four different advantages that we just read about equal the proclamation of his purpose in your life. The first, and I call them A because I'm using mathematical forms. I do construction, so I use math all the time. And so I just see it, and I'm a visual learner. So I picture things. If I can get a picture, I got it. If it's just words, it doesn't stick with me. But if I get a picture in my mind, then I got it. A chosen generation. We are a chosen generation. We are chosen for this time. You could have been born 100 years earlier or 100 years later, but you were born by his will for this time. We are here for now. We are the world's hope today. We are the light of the world for today. And if we fail, the next generation will have to make up for our failures. But we're here for today. And this word chosen in the Greek, it's electos, which actually the root of it means hedge or defense. Now, when electos is translated into English in Scripture, it only appears in two forms, in two different words, elect and chosen. And every time either elect or chosen is used in Scripture, it's referring to one of two groups of people, either the nation of Israel or the church. These two groups have a hedge put around them more than anybody else in the world. And if you've never been to Israel, you can go and you can see and you can understand exactly what a hedge means. That tiny little dot that has whooped up on nations a whole lot bigger and stronger than they are. If you don't know the history, you don't have to look far back to the 60s and find out just how God showed up big for Israel. They destroyed all the jets in three nations with the smallest team because the other jets never got off the ground. They destroyed them on the ground. These invading forces were on the way, and God cut them off. He is doing that for you today. He is doing it for you today. We have a hedge around us. That's an advantage that we have. Matthew 20, 16. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus uses these two words together numerous times, and you need to pay very close attention when you see many and few. Many and few. Get the concept, get a picture in your mind what many means to you and what few means to you. Pastor Wallace and I have discussed this. He's mentioned this before from the pulpit. I believe, this is just my opinion, that many is more than twice few. You can pick any number you want to pick. Many are called, but few are chosen. Honestly, everybody's called. Since the dispensation of the gospel to the Gentile world, everybody has had a calling on their life. So every human being that's ever breathed a breath after Jesus had a calling on his life. But not all get in that circle of protection. Only a few do. In the beginning of Luke chapter 10, we read the account of the commissioning of the 72 disciples. Jesus has already sent out the 12 two by two, and they went into the cities he was getting ready to visit to, and now he is sending out the second wave, a bigger wave, to go and prepare places for him. And he gives them authority, and he gives them instructions, and he sends them out the same way he sent out the 12. But if you'll back up sometime and look at the end of Luke 9, you'll find that Jesus encountered three followers who came up with every excuse in the world not to follow anymore. You see, I don't think the 72 is a magic number. I know the 12 is, and I'll use the term magic lightly. I don't think it was chiseled in, the 72 was chiseled in the stone that would be the only people going. Because I know three more were meant to go. Because Jesus called them, and they said no. And then there was another guy. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him what must he do to enter into eternal life. And he really knew what he was supposed to do. And then Jesus says, hey, Bubba, there's one problem. I don't have a translation for this. This is just my own. You don't have any treasures in heaven. Now, Pastor Wallace is a little more eloquent than I am. He would probably say, especially since he's in realty, you need to liquidate all your assets and disperse them to the less fortunate on the earth. Then you'll have treasures in heaven. And the man went away sad because he was very rich. He was supposed to be a part. Well, look, that's just four that Scripture gives us an account of. We don't know how many more. Every one of them was more. They were all called. But few are chosen. Jesus says again in Matthew 7, he says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father. Well, if you're not there, how can you do anything? How can you be a follower and be in out somewhere else? You see, chosen people have to be reliable people. Jesus couldn't count on the four we just talked about. They failed their own opportunity to be a crucial part of the kingdom. You know, there are even going to be those who do some good things according to Jesus that don't make it in. I mean, I hate to think this way, but there might be some seated in the room or hearing me online this morning that believe they're okay. But if you're not doing the will of the Father, if you're doing your own thing, if you're doing it for your own praise, then you're wasting your time. Because you won't reach the point that you want to reach. The man that showed up, Jesus told a story about a man that showed up at the wedding feast, but he was wearing the wrong clothes. If there's not a heart change in your life, you may be in trouble. Because I know what they did to that man. God said, the Father said, bind him hand and foot and cast him out into the outer darkness. This is very serious. I am passionate about this one scripture. I'm passionate, first of all, because I believe it, but I'm passionate because of what the Lord has given me for this year for myself. Secondly, we are a royal priesthood. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. We are. You are prepared already to fulfill this advantage in your life. You are. You might not know you are. You might not have discovered some things, but you are. There are elements that have been made available to you that you might not have found yet, but you are. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my command, my covenant, then you shall be my special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Well, now, we are servants of God like Israel has served God for all these thousands of years. We are servants, and we are a royal priesthood. The Greek says that it's a kingly priesthood, that we are kingly. That's the royalty. You have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Amen? If you have confessed him as your Lord, you have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That is your royal robe. We are kings. Is Jesus the King of Kings? Well, Jesus is the King, big K, of kings, us, little K. Right? Each one of us are kings. Job 22. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. So clean up your life. If you give up your lust for money and throw your precious gold into the river, the Almighty will be your treasure. He will be your precious silver, pure. Then you will take delight in the Lord Almighty and look up to God. You will pray to him and he will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows to him. You will succeed in whatever you choose to do, and a light will shine on the road ahead of you. I want to read that to you from the Amplified Bible. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourselves before him, you will be built up and restored. If you remove the unrighteousness from your tents and place your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering it of little value, and make the Almighty your gold and your precious silver, then you will have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face and you will pray to him and he will hear you. And you will pay your vows, and you will decide and decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. When you are cast down and humble yourself, you will speak with confidence. And the humble person, he will lift up and save. He will even rescue one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. He will rescue through the cleanness of your hands. If you've been praying for a lost family member, if you've been praying for a lost friend, you see yourself, if you can picture yourself as a part, as a king of a royal priesthood, all you are doing is decreeing a thing. You kings decree and make proclamations. You know, our generation really doesn't understand, this generation doesn't really understand kingship. You know, kings in today's society are figureheads for the most part. But kings used to rule the earth. They still do. And the less and less we understand about kings, the more and more we're moving towards them. Think about that for a little while later this afternoon. They're disguised. But there's some big guys out there that won't take over. And they think they ought to be take over. The things they want us to have is not good enough for them because they deserve better. You decree. You proclaim. Our father of faith, Abraham, Paul said about him, he called things that be not as though they are. He took an army of 318 men and whipped up on three or four other kingdoms. He was a king. Little k, but he was a king. We are kings. If you watch old movies with kings in them, you see that kings had a scepter. It's like a walking stick. It's long, slender. Most of the time had a ball or something on top. Had jewels and precious stones wrapped around it. And whenever he raised his scepter, that was established. Well, we have a scepter of faith. Just raise up your scepter. You are a king. You have a scepter. I don't know where it is. Do you know where it is? Maybe it's on the mantle collecting dust. Nah, this generation doesn't understand mantles either. If you understand mantles, you're about my age. Oh, boy, if you had never carried firewood before, that's where you put the matches. Or maybe your mantle's under the bed. That's what Jesus said, don't hide your light under the bed. Or maybe your mantle is in the junk drawer. Does anybody other than Bonnie and I have a junk drawer in our house? Look at all the hands, we got junk drawers. Yeah, ours is not big enough. We have to clean it out regularly. Use your faith. You're a king. Proclaim something. If I've said this one time, I've said it 100. I will climb out on a branch and sawed a lemon too, and know that God's going to catch me with my faith. God will catch you. It's not faith until you're not absolutely positive. Faith is not faith if it's just talk. It's an action. It's an action. So certainly with Tamika and with Keisha and Aubrey and the victories that we've seen this week and in other places and all. You know, God is doing a great thing. And there's somebody waiting for you to come alongside them. Jesus said we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. And your neighbor,
yes, as yourself.
I know you do pray for yourself, right? Well, pray for your neighbor. Come alongside your neighbor. Join with them. You'll get results. You are a king, a royal king. A holy nation. You are a part of a holy nation. A sacred, hallowed, morally blameless nation. The blood of Jesus did that for you. His death on the cross did that for you. Made us blameless. We are robed in His righteousness and we have been cleaned by His blood. We are made pure. You see, in the old covenant, God looked at the condition of the people, and a priest had to intercede for them so that they could live another year. But under the new covenant, God doesn't look at your actions. He looks at Jesus. He doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. So you have been spiritually consecrated. You have been put in a place. Now, when we think about a nation is a multitude of people. Matter of fact, when I was thinking about this, Dr. Hall, I thought about how that tribes of Native Americans were called a nation, individual nations. So if you're a group of people who live and work together, if you're related like a family, you're a nation. Well, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We are all family here. But we're of a hallowed nation. A nation that has been prepared by God. Not by what we've done, by what He's done. And for us, it was 2,000 years ago. It wasn't even yesterday. He had us on His mind when Jesus was on the cross. Jesus prayed for us in the garden. They knew we were coming. And we've been prepared for such a time as this. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. A chosen generation, and being a part of a chosen generation has put you under protection. Being a part of the chosen generation means that you are being protected. Being a part of a royal priesthood means that you have been positioned. And being a part of a holy nation means you've been purified. Now, I struggle, and I'm sure that most of us here do, with remnants of the old man. Anybody ever gone to the store and bought remnants? Parts and pieces? Still trying to raise up his old ugly head. He's supposed to be dead, but he didn't get all the notice, and he just rises up every now and then. But it's my responsibility to bring him back and crucify him again every time he shows up. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the same day that you were set free from the penalty of sin, you were set free from the power of sin. I know you may be struggling, but I'm telling you there's a God that has already pronounced your deliverance. It's already been established. He has already decreed it over you. The King of Kings. He's already made this permanent. Can you walk in it? D. Now, in the New Living Translation, it didn't use peculiar people. But this is the way I memorized this verse back when I was a kid. And because you know what I really want to believe? I hope you're like I am. I really believe that I am who he says I am. I really believe it. I'm absolutely convinced that I am who he says I am. That I'm not who I think I am or who anybody else thinks I am. I am who he says I am. And it took me a while to line my simple mind up with what God has really done for me and how he has. Look, I wouldn't have to tell you much to let you know I've been protected. And I was one of those who were not innocent, and somebody else prayed for me. There were four women in my life, senior women in my life when I was a teenager, that constantly prayed for me. One of them was my grandmother, who prayed over me in a language I did not understand, but I didn't wiggle at all because I knew there was power in it. But I was raised in a little Baptist church, and there were three women there that said, and this is what they proclaimed over me. Mike, one day you'll preach to the world. They were prophesying over me and decreeing a thing, and they didn't even believe in the gifts. And only one of those women got to see it come to fruition. Peculiar people. Now, Pastor tells us all the time, don't use Webster's to define Scripture. And this is a real good one not to use it. I mean, if we think about different or odd, you know, your mind goes to certain people, right? Maybe even one or two in here. Anyway, but give me 1 Corinthians again. Here we go. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. The word peculiar, actually the Greek word, is a word for acquisition. An acquisition. God paid for me. I belong to Him. I cannot serve two masters, for I will either hate one and love the other, or I will despise one and hold to the other. So we got only two options. We can quit and go back to the world, or we serve God under these advantages. That's it. The whole reason that God has put us in these positions is that He wants us to show forth His praises. And showing forth His praises is way more than words. And it's way more than Sunday morning. And it's way more than the worship time of any service. Because this is something you do every day. It is who you are. It is your identity. It is your calling. It is your spiritual service. When I think about the people that, you know, yes, I do get a great opportunity to minister to people here, and I love it, and I will never quit. But most of it I do at the gas pump or in the building supply house, in the restaurant. Let me ask you something, because we've had to force ourselves in our house, but Are y'all still giving away the little cards? Who's still giving them away? Okay. I only see three or four. Every restaurant. Every clerk. Every cashier. They need to know about Jesus. You've got some tools. You've got the stuff. I don't know. Maybe it's with your scepter in the junk drawer. I'm not sure. Our purpose is to show forth His marvelous light. We are placed in a position to change the world in this generation. Are you doing your part? I'm going to ask you all to stand around the house. Everybody stand. Worship team, you can come on back. I came out of darkness. I don't know about you. Well, wait a minute. Yes, I do know about you, because you've told me about, some of you have told me about you. But I know I came out of darkness. Yeah, there've been those of you who have talked with me in the foyer and in the back or in the parking lot about the about the bars and the pubs and the pool halls and the dance halls and the, So yeah, we came out of darkness. And I don't really even like to think about the darkness that I came from. But every now and then, I'll just take a glimpse back so I'll appreciate where I am now. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to be all you can be. I mean, we are everything we are because of Jesus. And why would I give less than my best? Why would you want to give less than your best? Don't you want the world to know who He is? Don't you want the world to have the same opportunity you've had to come out of darkness and bring them into His marvelous light? A light that is so brilliant and so bright that it hides every mistake I've ever made. It never even shows up. I'm going to ask our prayer team to stay on the sides this morning. And you can come on up and just get to the right or to the left, but leave the center open. And I want to give you an opportunity. If you need prayer of agreement, somebody to pray with you, start from right here. Y'all can come back up to the middle here. There you go. Y'all can come on back up here. This way. If you need somebody to agree with you or to pray with you, anoint you with oil, and pray the prayer of faith over you, you just go to them. But this morning, if you just want to say, Lord, I am going to really surrender it all. I want you to come right here in the middle so that I can commission you this morning to go to the ends of the earth and fulfill the call that is on your life. Now, I'm not here to dictate what God's called you to do. But I know He needs you. I know He needs you. I get more invitations than I can fulfill, so He needs somebody. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you need prayer, special prayer, go to our prayer team partners. If you just want to come here and surrender the remainder of your life, no matter how many days you've got left, that you'll give every day and commit yourself deeper than you've ever committed before. Look for a new frontier. There's a frontier for you. Just come on down. Come on down. As they play, come on down. I promise you, there's a frontier for you. There's something that you are not doing that God wants you to do, and you need to get up here and get with Him and find out what it is. I want you to be everything you can be. I don't want you to show up and have held any into heaven and have held anything back. You are more than a conqueror. You are a mountain mover. You are a giant killer. Okay. All right, this is where we are. You put yourself in a vulnerable place. You have put yourself in a vulnerable place. But you've done it because you know you've heard from the Lord. So as I commission you this morning and release you to go into the world, put more trust in God than you ever have. I love the Lord with all my heart, but I trust Him for everything. There are lives, there are souls that are awaiting you. And for our prayer team partners, I know you would be in the middle of this if I'd have let you. But I believe we have missionaries. I believe we have pastors. I believe we have evangelists in this house. I'm afraid that maybe somebody's clinging to the back of the pew more than they should. But I'm going to pray over you anyway. But for you who have come up here right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I release you to the world. I ask you, Father, that you would supply every need to fulfill every dream, every vision, every thought that they assume was beyond them. But all along it's been you. That new ministries would be birthed right here, out of this house, out of this group this morning. Provide every dollar they need. Honor their faithfulness to seek you and to find what your will for their life is. Let them know by a divine encounter this week that they were in the right place this morning. Give them the confidence that your word is true. And it will never, ever return void. Give them the boldness to step out of who they normally are and be all they can be for you. That they would be Jesus this afternoon and tomorrow for somebody who needs to meet you. Divine appointments, divine encounters, things that they would say, this had to be God because it wasn't me. It happened when something didn't work out the way I thought it would. And open their eyes to you. Take their eyes off of themselves and put their eyes on you. Now, for those who are waiting, Lord, just uncertain, those who have said in their heart, He can't be talking to me. Visit them in the slumberings of their nights, and let them awaken knowing that you have spoken to them. Surround them with encouragement. Let strangers encourage them. Hold tight, hold fast to those who are just uncertain at this point. Because I understand uncertainty as well. Now, Father, keep us safe. Deliver our loved ones. deliver our families, and let us please you every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Go to the world. You've been called to the world.
This morning, I'm available, Lord. Hallelujah. Pronounce a blessing over you today from God's word now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Come on. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, kingship, dominion, and power both now and forever. Come on, give the Lord praise today. King of kings, you're the kings. Hallelujah. You're the royal priesthood. You're the holy nation. You're the peculiar people, a people belonging to God. Thank you so much for being with us today, for watching online. If you're a guest, please, please, please make your way to the Welcome Center in the foyer. We've got a gift for you. We want to have a record of your visit among us today. And we just delight that you're with us today. Listen, bring somebody to church with you Sunday. God's already given us a word for next week. I'm going to be preaching on alignment. It's important, alignment. Be all you can be today, but have I received all that God has for me? Going to be preaching that next week. Somebody say alignment. Brother Frank Adams. Hey, Biddy, grab that gentleman. Come on in here, brother. Be all you can be today. Next week, be praying about this. Have I received all that God intended for me? Okay? Alignment. Come on, Brother Frank and Brenda. I want you to welcome. Come on, welcome Frank and Brenda Adams to Carpenter Shop International Church. Would you do that? I'm going to have them step on the platform with me. Come on. Let them know you're glad to have them. Come on, guys. Frank and Brenda Adams. I just met them. Amen? It's only been days. Hey, Brother Frank, Brenda, Stan, look at those beautiful people. A lot of them are gone already. But listen, I want you to know what God is doing. God is always moving in his kingdom. And just a matter of days ago, I received contact from this couple. And they've had their eye on moving. Somebody say moving. And they didn't really know where they were going to move, but they started searching. They're from Culpeper, Virginia, so they're about 5 or 6 hours away from us. But they found a place in Ahoskie, and they came down, and they looked at it, and they came by the church, and they looked at the church, and he said, hey, we've been watching you guys online, and Frank and Brenda are missionaries with the Assemblies of God. He's written multiple books, amen. He's got a podcast, Monday Manna. I've already listened to it. And God has spoken to their hearts. In fact, you want to know how serious they've taken this? Come on, somebody say, how serious, Pastor? Yesterday, they bought a house in Ahoskie. Come on. Come on. God's uniquely positioning a couple to continue in ministry. This is not retirement. To continue in ministry. I'm going to ask Pastor Frank, if he would, to bless our going out today with a prayer. And you'll get a chance to meet them, because I told him yesterday, I said, man, we're going to put you to work, brother. We're going to put you to work. We've got something for you to do.
And he has a tremendous amount of experience in church development and expansion, and is a gifted Bible teacher. And listen, God has a plan. Amen? He has a plan. And he has a plan for Frank and Brenda. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. Hey, guests, don't forget, go by the Welcome Center. I'm going to ask Pastor Frank to close us out today with a prayer of blessing over you and all of you that are watching online. Thank you so much for watching. Hey, hit share on that broadcast. If you didn't watch it today, you know, you were here, but pull it up this afternoon and just do yourself a favor and do God a favor. Hit share, and you will exponentially send a message of a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Be all you can be. You'll send it to the earth. Did you appreciate Pastor Mike this morning? Come on. Give it up for that word today. Come on. Give it up for that word today. Let it find a lodging place in your heart that you would move forth and be all that you can be for God's glory.
Thank you, Pastor. Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you for the crucifixion, for the resurrection, for the ascension to the right hand of the Father, where you rule and reign over every inch of this earth and heaven. And Father God, you know every heart, you know every circumstance, you know every need. And you love every individual that's in this room, that's watching by other means and methods. And Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would save the lost, that you'd heal the sick. Father God, that you would restore the broken. We thank you that your mercy never fails, but it's fresh every morning. Lord, show mercy. Demonstrate your mercy to us. We are your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. But, oh God, we need your grace and mercy every day. May your blessing, may your anointing rest upon this pastor and his wife and this ministry. Father God, all of the staff people that do such a wonderful job. Father God, may your spirit move in Ohoski, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, dismiss us with your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.